I want to read you from this chapter and then from Matthew 13 and explain to you the procedure from there. Romans 16:25. Now, to him that is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which hath been kept in silence through times eternal, but now is manifested, and by the prophetic scriptures, according to the commandment of the eternal God, is made known unto all the nations, unto obedience of faith, to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. Now, back to Matthew 13. Verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, thou hast told us that if any man thinketh he knoweth anything, he knoweth not yet as he ought to know. And thou hast told us that knowledge puffeth up. But thou hast also tell us that thy people perish because of lack of knowledge. And thy word doth say, Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And for that reason, our Father, we desire that knowledge that comes from thee, the knowledge that we must possess if we are going to spend the life to come with thee, because this is life eternal, that they should know thee, the only true God in Jesus Christ whom thou didst send. And so we pray, Father, that from what we are to study tonight, thou mightest impart unto us that knowledge that is so essential. I write unto you fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write unto you little children, because you know the Father. And so help us to know things, our Father, that we may be the men and women of God that thou dost desire us to be, and at the same time have that additional grace that shall make this knowledge acceptable and pleasant in thy sight. Thou hast heard the prayers of what is necessary if this is going to be accomplished. So help us to this end tonight, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I showed you last week how that though the mystery of which Paul speaks had been kept secret, had been kept in silence for times eternal, it was kept in silence not in the way that this universe came into existence. There was nothing, and then it came into existence. But I showed you from the Old Testament, and especially from the Gospel of Matthew, how these things that were hidden and kept silence were in the Old Testament, but they were there in type. They were there in obscure presentations, but they were there. And what I want to do now, and we'll see how long it takes for tonight and in the weeks to come, is to consider these mysteries, all of them, as they are presented to us in the New Testament, because you find no mystery in the Old Testament. What I want to do tonight is to tell you where each one is and look at them as a whole. See what God would have us to know as a whole about these mysteries, and then, as time allows, tell you some of the details about the mysteries as they occur in biblical order. But first of all, this. I told you that last week, God, in type and in obscurity, spoke of these things and revealed these things that had been hidden, unable to be comprehended by man. I wonder if anyone can give me an Old Testament scripture that tells us that this very thing that Christ is doing now, that he says was in secret, was to be revealed, and Matthew 13 is a fulfillment of it. Could any brother think of what scripture that tells us, yes, Christ is going to reveal these secrets? We'll turn to Psalm 78. Let me show you. This is why it's very dangerous to say nothing was ever known, nothing was ever shown in the Old Testament. Nothing was shown until they were revealed unto Paul because of this. In Psalm 78, look at verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he hath done. Look at verse 2. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter dark sayings of old. Now, in Matthew 13, look in Matthew 13, at verse 34. All these things spake Jesus in parables unto the multitude, and without a parable spake he nothing unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things hidden from the foundation of the world. And I just read that to you in Psalm 78. So all of these mysteries of the kingdom, and remember now, the mysteries of the kingdom are set before us in parables. And since they are set before us in parables, the natural man listening to them, still to him, they are mysteries. But to the disciples, our Savior said, unto you it is given to know. Follow me that far. And having said that, do not think that because Christ said to his disciples, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, that they automatically knew, intuitively understood everything that Christ spoke. It does not mean that at all. It simply means that they had the capacity and they had those that were able to interpret to them the meaning of these parables that Christ spoke. Because if he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, why did Christ explain the parables to them? You say, why, it's because they did not know the explanation. That's right. But they had the capacity, when Christ explained it, to take it in. You say, well, that's no great thing. Oh, but it is. How many people have come out at 11 o'clock and have heard the gospel again and again and again, and they go away knowing nothing about salvation? And in like manner, there are natural men who hear explanations of these parables and hear these parables, and they do not comprehend. The light is shining in the darkness, but the darkness is not comprehending it, neither is it overcoming it. But the light is shining in the darkness. So do not think that when Christ said to you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, that automatically they knew everything intuitively as Christ spoke. It means that they had the capacity to understand as Christ explained the parables to them. I'll illustrate it again. When he spoke the parable of the tares in the field, the wheat and the tares, the disciples came to him afterward and said, explain unto us the parable of the tares. Now, if it were given to them to know intuitively, why did they ask for an explanation? You say, because they did not know the explanation. That is correct. But after Christ spoke the parables and explained the parables, it says in verse 51, have you understood all these things? They say unto him, yea. That's the key. That they had one who could interpret the parable, and they had one who, when he interpreted the parable, they could understand the parable. That is most important. There are some to whom you try to give explanation of the things of Scripture, and they cannot comprehend them. There are others who are Christians, and you tell them the explanation, and they say, of course. It is the Spirit of God illuminating the things that God has revealed in the written word. And so when it says to you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, it does not mean that any time a Christian or an apostle hears Christ speak, he immediately understands the interpretation. By no means. But it means that he has the capacity to understand, and God will see to it that he shall be guided into all truth. God will bring the truth to any man who desires to know it. The Lord Jesus said, if any man willeth to do God's will, he shall know the doctrine, whether I speak of myself or whether I speak from God. So that's the first thing I want you to understand. I told you last week that unless God came and expounded what was contained in type and in obscurity in the Old Testament, and when Christ spoke the parables, unless he explained them, and unless the Spirit of God illumined the understanding of those to whom he explained them, they could not comprehend. But the Lord says, to you it is given to know. All right, I've told you that. But the next thing to understand is that having been promised that they would have this enablement, it does not mean that on the day of Pentecost, immediately everyone understood all the mysteries of God. And even when Paul says that it was revealed unto him, it does not mean that all of the mysteries at one time were revealed to Paul. If you will read in the epistles to the Thessalonians, and then in Romans and Corinthians, and then in Ephesians and Colossians and Timothy and Titus, you will find that there is a progressive revelation of the mysteries, just as in the Acts of the Apostles, even though they were indwelt and guided by the Spirit of God, there was no full understanding at the first. In fact, when the Spirit is guiding into all truth in Acts chapter 10, the Lord Jesus is giving Peter an object lesson from heaven. And when Christ is seeking to explain it to him, he says, not so, Lord. And so that shows he did not understand. He was not prepared to receive it. But then he thought on the vision. And as he thought on it, he said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Do you see what it means when it says, to you it is given to know? It means, and not without assistance and not without resistance, but it means that in time, God will reveal these things to you. You have the capacity to understand them, and God will himself, as in the person of Christ in Acts 10, or as for the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, God will send someone to illumine you, to explain these things to you. Or it may be that you're on your knees considering the word of God, and God himself can explain these things to you. But it is a progressive thing, because you do not find in Thessalonians a revelation of all the mysteries. you do not find in 1 Corinthians and Romans a revelation of all the mysteries. Thessalonians, about A.D. 52, and then Corinthians and Romans, about A.D. 57, and then Ephesians and Colossians, about A.D. 62, and as each group of epistles comes into existence, you find a fuller revelation of the mysteries that God had promised would be revealed unto them. Now, these mysteries at times are spoken of in various ways collectively, and then they are spoken of individually. When it says, and I will give you an example, let me show you from Ephesians 6, first of all. Turn there, please. Just as I told you to compare Matthew, Mark, and Luke together, so if you will compare Ephesians and Colossians together, what an illumination you will be given. And so in Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 19. Paul is seeking their prayers, and he says, "And on my behalf, that utterance may be given unto me in opening my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains." Listen to it again. "The mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains." Now turn to Colossians 4 and listen to verse 3. Again, he says, "I want you to pray for me." And then in verse 3 he says, "With all praying for us also, that God may open unto us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." And so in one breath the apostle says the mystery of the gospel, in the next breath he says the mystery of Christ. Having said that, let me explain a difference that occurs in comparing Matthew 13 and Mark chapter 4. It says in Mark chapter 4, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." It says in Matthew 13, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." When Mark says, "Unto you it's given to know the mystery of the kingdom," that is an inclusive term. The mystery of the kingdom is made up of all these mysteries, of which the greater number occurs in Matthew 13. Now, in Matthew 13, we have 7 parables and a parabolic illustration. And in Mark, you have only a fraction of these, but you have one that Matthew doesn't give us. The mustard seed growing of itself, the seed growing of itself. In Luke, you have a repetition of what you have in Matthew 13, but not anything additional that you do not have in Matthew 13. And so if it says the mystery of the kingdom, it includes all the mysteries. Or Matthew can say the mysteries of the kingdom, and he is speaking of them individually. I told you the same thing concerning the elect. It says, "That which thou hast given me," that is collectively. "He that cometh unto me," that is individual. God presents it at times individually, at times he presents it collectively, and so you have to know. When he says the mystery of the gospel, that is an all-inclusive term. Christians do not realize that. They say, "Preach the gospel." Well, I could preach to you from Matthew chapter 1, or 3, or 5, or 10, because you have heard of the gospel of Matthew, have you not? You say, yes. And so the word gospel simply means good news. It is good news concerning Christ. And in the broadest sense, it's everything that's written in Matthew's gospel. But what you would like to think the gospel meant was when Christ took the cup and said, "This is my blood of the new Testament." When I tell you about Christ shedding his precious blood, you say, "That's the gospel I like to hear." Like in 1 Corinthians 15, I make known unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. You say, that's the gospel. No, that is a fraction of the good news. That is, as mysteries, and we have the mystery of the sower, and then the tares and the wheat, and then the treasure in a field, they are the individual ones. But the mystery of the kingdom is all inclusive. And so the mystery of the gospel includes all the mysteries associated with the good news concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he says that I may preach the mystery of Christ, he is the heart of this mystery, the heart of the gospel, and it may be, as in 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh, it may be having to do with just one aspect or a few of the aspects of the work of Christ. And so, if you know about the mysteries as a whole, then you know them individually. If you know the mystery of the kingdom of God, then you know it as a whole, and it has to be broken down into individual portions. Grasp that much. All right. Having told you that, concerning the progressive revelation of the mysteries, a man can hear the mysteries, and having heard the mysteries, he may be like Peter, who sees the mystery demonstrated by Christ from heaven, but he does not understand. Because of that, it speaks of the mysteries, and then it speaks of understanding of the mysteries. What I want to do now, and please, if you want to, you may copy these things down, there are only 27 occurrences of the word mystery in the New Testament. And of these 27 occurrences, you can look at the ones that are so designated as mysteries, but you can find that somewhere else without the word mystery, he is talking about the same subject. And so at times, the mysteries occur without being designated as mysteries, and at times, the word mystery occurs, and he may not tell you exactly what mystery he's talking about. The mystery of Christ. Well, what particular aspect are you talking about? But anyway, what you have to do, just as in every subject in the New Testament and Old, if you're going to understand it properly, you have to look at all of it in a panoramic way. There are approaches to it, and only by thoroughly examining them all can you get a conception of it. Because a man will hold forth concerning an explanation of the mystery in one place, and then you look at it in another place, and you say, he must modify what he said. If he only had that one occurrence of mystery, then it would be true, or it may be true. But when you have two side by side, you understand that when he says, the mystery of the gospel, and then he says the mystery of Christ, there is no difference. One of them is all-inclusive, one of them is particular, or perhaps it's simply Christ, as I shall tell you later on. But anyway, these are the occurrences, because not all of you have concordances, but they are found in Matthew 13, verse 11, and Mark 4, 11, and Luke 8, 10, Romans 11, 25 and 16:25, and in 1 Corinthians 2:7, 4:1, 13:2, 14:2, 15:51, and then finally, notice we come to Ephesians, and this is the order that we get them in the New Testament. You have them in Ephesians 1:9, and then in chapter 3, verses 3. And 4, and 9. And then in chapter 5, verse 32. And in chapter 6, verse 19. In Colossians, you have in chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. You have in chapter 2, verse 2. You have in chapter 4, verse three. You see, all of them are going along in this order. And then in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9, and then verse 16, and then the only other place in the New Testament where you find them, notice that the only epistles that I've mentioned have been those of the Apostle Paul, and then the Apostle John in the book of Revelation in chapter 1, in chapter 1, verse 20, in chapter 10, verse 7, and then in chapter 17, verses 5 and 7. And these are all the occurrences of the mysteries by name in the New Testament. You do not find the word mystery in the Old Testament, but you do find this. I will open my mouth in parables. That's what he says in Psalm 78. And the parable that he is speaking of in Psalm 78, Christ speaks of in Matthew 13, and this parable is a parable of the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Do you see? And so it is a parable that should illuminate, but Christ uses it for those to whom it's not been given to obfuscate, that hearing they may hear and not understand, and seeing they may see and not comprehend. And so that is the meaning of the word parable. At times it is a parable, and this parable is a mystery of the kingdom. Now let me tell you the next thing. I've told you that you can know the mysteries. I've told you all of them now. I can quote to you every mystery in the New Testament. But you say, now, give me your understanding of those mysteries. I would say, well, why did you have to go that far? I can tell you what every mystery that is listed in New Testament says. But Paul, having mentioned the mystery, he says, that you may perceive my understanding of the mystery. And so anybody that has a Bible can read of the mysteries, but then it is the understanding of the mystery. That is what is important. All right. First of all, God, concerning these mysteries, has, because he is God, been able to keep them in silence and in secrecy for eternal times. And I cannot conceive of such a thing being done. So many people say this, if you have the knowledge of Jesus Christ, take it. No. If God could save the world, why did he not send his son? No. It says, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. Well, if you know these mysteries, tell them all to us. God said, no, I have no intention of telling them until the Lord Jesus Christ comes upon the scene. And then the first occurrence of the word mystery is found in Matthew chapter 13. And so the Lord Jesus, at God's time and in God's way, starts presenting these mysteries, and it is not by accident. That is what you must understand. God has mysteries, and unless he reveals these mysteries, nobody would ever understand. But even though he does reveal these mysteries, unless it is given to a man to understand them, he can hear them spoken and cannot comprehend what the Lord Jesus is talking about. God has kept it secret, and he's still able to keep it secret, but at times, he does not want it to be kept secret. He wants it to be made known as fully as it was kept secret in times eternal. Notice this, that God, it says, God determined that it should be kept in secret, in silence from times eternal. But now it says he commands. He wants all of these things, the revelation of the mystery, to be made known unto all nations for the obedience of faith. And Paul says, pray for me that I may make known the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of Christ, as I ought to know. God wants it as widely known today as it was close shut up in the past. For that reason, I'm not going to be concerned then about the time element involved in the accomplishment of the will of God. Because I certainly think that before the thousands of years that transpired, I could have sent Jesus Christ upon the scene. But God said no, it was the fullness of time. And having sent him upon the scene, I think I could have told them more things than he told them in the gospel. But the Lord Jesus said no, I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you. He said, you cannot bear them. now. The Lord Jesus knew the capacity of man to receive his teachings, and he knew God's timetable. And when they said, "Dost thou at this time restore unto us the kingdom to Israel?" the Lord Jesus said, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons, but you shall receive power." And later on, he starts revealing about the restoration, the times and the seasons. But in Acts chapter 1, that was not the time. All right, this you must know as well. That all along, whereas we have all the books of the Old Testament, the abundance of light that is contained there, God never put enough, God never revealed to anyone an understanding of the mysteries as we now have them revealed in the New Testament. He could have, but he did not want to. He did not want to in an eternity when angels existed before man was upon the scene. He did not want these mysteries revealed for man until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after Christ came, he did not want them revealed until after Pentecost, and that not all at once, but progressively, as he saw fit to record them in the books that we have in the New Testament. And for that reason, it is not the lack of the ability of God to make known, but it is in his wisdom and in his plan, he is doing it this way. And this is what it says in Ephesians 1:9. It says, "To whom God was pleased to reveal the mystery of his will, having made known unto us the mystery of his will." And so there is a mystery associated with the will of God. And one of the mysteries is this. Why did he keep things so close for so many thousands of years? Was it by accident? It was a purpose. And it says, "Now he has made known unto us the mystery of his will." God has a will from the beginning. Before Christ ever became flesh, God has a will, but he wanted to keep it secret. Unto himself, he wanted to keep it secret. And now he wants it made known. And it says, "He has made known unto us the mystery of his will." And I wonder if you know what the mystery of his will is. He wants you to know it, and he's made known the mystery of his will. But if it meant the saving of my life for all of you to tell me what the mystery of his will is, I would be lost. And yet, he tells you, "I haven't let people know." And the Lord Jesus said there are many prophets and kings and righteous men that wanted to know, to see the things and saw them not. Blessed are your eyes. And now you have the full revelation of God in this book, and you do not know what the will of God is. You do not know the revelation of the mystery of his will, but he's told us. And so at least I've given you all the references to the mysteries of God. And now you can read them and pray for God to guide you, to give you an understanding in this mystery. And then, if so, there is only one other thing that you need. Because in 1 Corinthians 13:2, Paul says, "And if I have all knowledge and know all mysteries, but have not love, he says, I am nothing." And so here is a man who comprehends all the mysteries of God, but that knowledge is not tempered by love. He is nothing. And so this is what God wants us to understand. Yes, we must study and strive to grasp what these mysteries are. But having grasped them, beware lest we be wise in our own conceits. And then we need to beseech God for that love that shall make the mysteries, the wisdom, our understanding of them compatible, will make us Christians that we will be able to live with other Christians and not be puffed up, because knowledge puffs up. These are some of the things that God wants us to know. And next week, you know what these mysteries are, and we'll continue from there. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we confess that having told us all of these things, having revealed all of these mysteries, we do not even know what they are. And having had them revealed to us, we have not understood them. And if we have understood them, we have not accepted them. and adjusted ourselves in a proper relationship to them. Forgive us, Father, for being so slow. We remember when thy Son spoke to the disciples and rebuked them because of their hardness of heart, their slowness to comprehend the things that he wanted them to know. And so help us, our Father. Thou hast told us these things that have been kept secret for times eternal. Thou hast revealed them unto us, and now you want us to know them, and all nations to know them. And so let us as individuals study them, so that if you say to us, as you said to Philip, join the eunuch and explain it. If you say to us, as Paul, explain these mysteries to your brother, your sister, let us be able. And so bless this study tonight, and in thy will, the further studies that we shall have. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.